So let's review. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek taught, Kala Nishboin Shabbatayra Nishboin Vilei Mishalman. Generally, when an oath is required to decide a case, it is the nitfa, the defendant, who swears to avoid paying. However, Ve'ilu Nishboin V'Neitlin, in certain cases the Rabbanan initiated, the Teveya, the claimant, swears and collects. And the first example cited is Hasachar, a hired worker, where Omar Aloy, Ten Li Schari Shesh Labiyatcha. The worker asked for his wages, and Hu Oimer Nesati, V'Aloy Merloy Netalti. The employer claims he paid, while the worker claims he never received it. Hu Nishba V'Neitl, the worker, the Teveya, swears and collects. And the Gemara in the previous daf explained, a crew Rabban Lishvumi Balabais V'Shadu Hasachar. The Rabbanan took the oath away from the employer and imposed it on the worker instead, because the Balabai is tarred by Pailavu. The employer is occupied with his many workers. Therefore, it is likely that he forgot whether he paid and will mistakenly swear falsely. Nevertheless, the Gemara there cites a brayso which rules, Uman oy mishtem ketzatzali v'halo oy mele ketzatzali l'chela achas ha-moitzi mechaveir o l'varaya. If after returning an item he repaired, the craftsman claims that they agreed to a fee of 2 sloim, while the owner claims that they agreed to a fee of 1 selah, the burden of proof is on the worker. The Gemara here cites Shmuel, according to whom the Brice is explained as follows. Letzidadin katani. Oy may be rai v'yitl, oy yishtov balabais v'yafsid uman. The worker has 2 options. Either to present proof, such as witnesses or documentation, or to allow the employer, the nitfa, to swear as a maid to be miktis, and the worker will lose. And the worker, the teveya, cannot be nishba v'naitl, swear and collect, because as I explained earlier, regarding kitzitza, we cannot use the reason balabais toward b'poyel of hu, to switch the shvua from the nitfa to the teveya, because ketzitza vade mitket ocherle, although the owner is preoccupied and may forget whether he paid yet, but he certainly does remember the arrangement. Therefore, the original halacha is left in place that the nitfa swears to be exempt from payment. However, based on another brayso, the Gemara points out that this is actually machlokes Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabban regarding a case of ketzitza. The first brayso is the opinion of the Rabbanan that sachar ein nishba v'naitl, because balabai is vade mitket ocherle, the owner does remember the arrangement. And the second brayso is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that sachar nishba v'naitl, because balabais loy mitka docherle, the owner does not necessarily remember their arrangement. Now, the takans chachamim nishba v'naitl is a kula, a leniency for the teveya, the sachar, because if the nit for the balabais would swear, the sachar would not be able to collect. Therefore, in the case of ketzitza, the rabbana are machmer stringent, and Rabbi Yehuda is mekel lenient. However, the Gemara asks that in the Mishnah, it's just the opposite. The rabbana are mekel, and Rabbi Yehuda is machmer. Because the Rabbanah hold that even where Balabai is kefer ha-koil, sachar nishba v'naitl. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that where the Balabai is kefer ha-koil, sachar ain't a nishba v'naitl. Only where the Balabai is ma'idah b'mixes can the sachar be nishba v'naitl. And it's not logical to say, hecha de machmer Rabbi Yehuda mekili rabbanan, hecha de mekel Rabbi Yehuda machmer rabbanan. Therefore, Rava explains that these are 2 separate machlokes based on different reasoning. In the Mishnah, the reasoning is as follows. Rabbi Yehuda saver b'day reisa of the le takanto le sachar. Rabbi Yehuda holds that when the Balabais is obligated to swear midday raisa, such as when he is made of a mixes, the Rabbanah transfer the oath to the worker. But when his obligation to swear is only midrabbanan, such as when he is kefer hakoil, the Rabbanah did not transfer the oath to the worker because the Chacham do not initiate one takana upon another takana. Rabbanan sabri, but Rabbanah nami avdin takanta l'sachar. The Rabbanah hold that the Chacham do sometimes initiate a takana even upon another takana. Therefore, the Rabbanan transfer the oath even in the case of kefer hakoil. However, in the brayso of ketzitza, the machlokes is explained earlier. The Rabbanan holds sachar ein nishba v'naitl because balabais vadi mitker docherle. And Rabbi Yehuda holds sachar nishba v'naitl because balabais loy mitker docherle. Mishnah continues explaining the cases of nishba v'naitl, where the claimant swears and collects. Nigzal ketzat. What is the case of when a victim of theft swears and collects? Witnesses testify that someone entered another person's home to take collateral without permission. And who am I kalai natalta, vo am I loy natalti? The alleged nigzel claims that he took his utensil, while the alleged goslin says he did not. Hu nishba v'naitl. However, Yehuda imr ashtei sham miktas hayda. And the Mishnah explains, ketzad omalei shnei kelim natalta, vo am I loy natalti ala echad. The nigzel claims that he took 2 utensils, while the goslin claimed he only took 1. And the Gemara adds, b'toyin kelim anitolim tachas knafav. The witnesses observed him taking utensils and hiding them under his clothing, and so they cannot see if he took 1 or 2. The Gemara cites a related ruling. If someone was observed hiding utensils underneath his clothing while leaving another person's house, he's not believed to claim that he purchased them. However, the Gemara explains that this is only true under the following 5 conditions. Balabayis she'en osur limkur kelov. The owner does not usually sell his utensils. Dvarm she'en darkan lahatman. These utensils are usually carried openly in public. Inish delitznia. This person does not usually hide what he's carrying. They're arguing whether the utensil was borrowed or bought, not whether it was stolen. But these utensils are normally borrowed. However, if any of these conditions are missing, it is reasonable to believe that he bought it. Mishnah continues, Nechvel Ketzad, what is the case when the victim of assault swears and collects? Witnesses testify that the victim entered someone's domain unhurt, but left injured. The victim says this person injured him, but he denies it. The victim can swear and collect. However, he only swears if the defendant admits to part of the claim as follows. The victim claims he suffered two injuries, while the defendant claims that he only inflicted one injury. Mishnah continues, what is the case when we suspect that the defendant might swear falsely and therefore transfer the oath to the claimant? And the Gemara explains, where the defendant once swore falsely regarding testimony or regarding a deposit, where the isbu kfiris mamon, in which case he swore for monetary gain, or rafilah shvu shav, even if he swore a vain oath, the oath is transferred to the claimant and the Gemara as shvu shav v'chol d'damile. This also refers to swearing falsely to any similar oath, such as shvu bitui, achalti b'lo achalti, if he swore a shvu bitui, saying I ate or I did not eat. Mishnah continues, ha'yechem min mesachei b'kuvia. If the defendant was a gambler, umava beribis, or he lent with interest, umafrichi yayinim, or he bet on doves, another form of gambling, v'seichri shvius, or dealt in shmita produce, shekenegde nishba benaitel, all these cases the claimant swears and collects. And the Gemara explains, tana besula deraisa v'kutani besula derabanan. The Mishnah first listed those who are disqualified from swearing min ha'tayra, since they previously swore falsely, and then listed those who are disqualified from swearing midrabanan.